Do you want to know what it takes to be an entrepreneur in 2024? Talk On To Walk On is proud to introduce you to a podcast series in partnership with Baltic Ventures. Baltic Ventures is a Liverpool-based flagship tech business accelerator in which Patrick and I are angel investors. Regular listeners to our Talk On To Walk On podcast will know about both of our business backgrounds, ranging from working with large corporates to startups across multiple sectors. Based on our passion for business, we're calling this series Startup Stories. We're starting the series by showcasing a selection of the Baltic Ventures business founders, demonstrating why they were chosen out of over 200 applicants to join the very first Baltic Ventures 2023-24 cohort. As a result of their selection, they were each awarded 50,000 equity investment to turbocharge their business growth. Each founder guest has their own unique story with many businesses and life lessons to share. In these first three episodes, you'll be hearing from Dr. Sam Impey from Hexas, developers of technology allowing athletes to predict and personalize their nutritional needs. Kate Longworth from Gaia Learning, a global online school that supports neurodiverse children through personalized education. And Thomas Farquhar from Heatio, a clean tech startup that manages energy use in your home to cut your bills and carbon footprint.
Food has a massive impact on our body. Like, we literally are what we eat, right? That can actually help them to get fitter faster. You can get more out of the same training session by changing the food that you eat. From a perseverance perspective, like I have like moderate level dyslexia. I'm not too bad, but reading and writing, I was terrible. I really wasn't that great at school, which is ironic for someone with a PhD, I think.
So what we do at Gaia is we take online specialist education to the schools. And we say to the school, okay, so if you've got a child who is struggling in the classroom, and straight away the Senko or the head teacher goes, yep, I can name you 15% of my 950 school cohort. You know, what do you do when your child is at the school gate, physically clinging on to, and refusing to walk down that path of doom, as my poppy calls it, down towards reception?
We're actually trying to bring that, narrow that fuel poverty gap as much as possible. So that's why we're covering different parts of the journey. We want to take people on that journey. My first advice to a single founder would be go and get a co-founder. Go give away half the business to someone, because you're never going to have all the skills anyway. Horror show of having a bootstrap business, which is what it is. You know, it's terrifying because all, and it was the only thing we knew. We didn't realize that wasn't the only way you have a business.
These are seriously impressive and ambitious companies. So we are delighted to be sharing with you a conversational insight into the mindset of these entrepreneurs and how the power of conversation and community created at Baltic Ventures has boosted their growth by giving them the courage and confidence to walk on towards their dreams. If you love what you hear and want to learn more about becoming an investor or applying for the next Baltic Ventures cohort, go to balticventures.uk. If you want to learn more, connect with any of the brilliant businesses featured in this series, all details are in the show notes. We're proud to be playing a small part in the journey of these fabulous founders. So let's talk on to walk on with Sam, Kate, and Tom in these first three episodes, and let's see where it leads. Kate, Gaia Learning, I've been really excited to get you on. And not only because you're absolutely fabulous, but also one of the very few females in Baltic Ventures. In terms of Gaia Learning, let's just dive straight in and share with us how Gaia Learning is changing the world for children and the parents of neurodiverse children.
Oh, Michelle, you could have just ended on changing the world and I'd still give you
I love that.
And we are in the most fortunate position to support and work with the future leaders, the creative thinkers, the people who are full of emotion and energy and who can't sit still, and their parents who are, unsurprisingly, those little babies grown up. And so we work with those kids to help them thrive in education, to create education and learning programs that fit for those children. so that they can either stay with us or go back into the mainstream school setting or go to a farm school or learn in the community or get an apprenticeship or do whatever is the right thing for that child. And we're very lucky because we get to speak to parents on a daily basis. We talk about those parents and those kids in team meetings like we've just done, and work with the schools who set out with the absolute good intent of helping these kids thrive. The SENCO leads, exec heads, head teachers, humanity teachers are there to help the children. Sometimes they don't quite know how to do it. Sometimes mm-hmm. the system isn't that easy for the children, for the parents and for their educators, the teachers. So we get to sit in the middle and all hold hands around the babies, as we say, talk about our own kids. So, yeah, so creating personalised learning programmes and tech to support these children so that they can go on and be absolutely kick-ass and teach us how to do our jobs in 5-10 years' time.
Yeah. I love how you've talked. You went straight in to say how amazing they are, because that is an incredible, powerful message that in particular, not just the kids, the parents need to hear that, don't they?
Yeah. And the you know, the parents, and I'm one of them, right, as is my co-founder Kirsten, have been or are in paralysis. You know, what do you do when your child is at the school gate physically clinging on to and refusing to walk down that path of doom, as my poppy calls it, down towards reception, all of the emotion that's built up and that builds up for the parent as you get into the car park. They see it, they feel it, they live it and breathe it every day. And the teachers are stood at the school gates spotting these 15% of kids in their school who are going to struggle that day. So if you can be a support, if you can put a support structure in for, we always start with the kids are the most important people in the world, start with them, then as a parent, and you guys will know, you're happiest when your child is happy and safe and secure and thriving. And then academic ability and career options, they come after. You need them to be feel safe and emotionally well and wanting to learn. And that is not linear and that is not quick either.
Kate, the amazing thing is of course your daughter Poppy isn't alone, and I'm amazed by the stats, and you know, reading the material you've put out and doing some research, you know, the figure that I think it's 1 in 5 of us in the UK, 1 in 5 are neurodivergent. Yeah. And you just mentioned the percentage, 15%. 15% have special educational needs. This is a major, major challenge and opportunity, isn't it? And
yes.
Mainstream education, and that's what mainstream education just does not cater for the wide variety of kids that we have in society nowadays.
Yeah, absolutely. It's and not to kind of criticize the education kind of schooling system as such, but it wasn't designed for the children and the awareness and the visibility that we have now. You know, like every other industry and fashion and home and lifestyle and dating and the role that AI plays in all of that makes it adaptable and personable to the needs of that consumer. It's the same in education, but it's such an infrastructure, such an ecosystem, such a huge thing to try and change. That it's not straightforward. And I think the awareness and the understanding of the challenges that these children have and the fact that parents are now more comfortable to say, yeah, actually this is really hard. And you know when you have a child, I knew from when Poppy was 2, you look at the 30 kids in the class and you can spot them, right? You can spot the kids that are just a bit, something else is going on. And that, I remember Poppy used to do this thing with hands with all the children at school, and she'd do it on holiday and she'd do it at parties, and she would move your hands and she would do it to the teachers. She'd go around, and if you moved your hands from the spot that she had put them in, this was my first sign for Poppy when she was 2, she started doing this, and she couldn't cope. She would get absolutely overwhelmed. So she wouldn't understand why you've laughed and moved your hands.
The power of your own personal experience and that of your co-founder, Kirsten, it is immense, isn't it? In terms of your drive and your motivation. When you connect particularly with parents, that must be really fulfilling for you, but are very reassuring for them that you're not just coming at them selling a solution. You're actually coming at them with full understanding of what they're going through.
Yeah, and I know that Kirsten and I have both been on that journey of seeking to understand about our own kids. And, you know, the day you look at the cohort of children in a classroom and realize, okay, my child is not doing things in the same way as those 9 other children. And the coming to terms with that, and that is a real thing, the realization. And that I think now that journey is quicker and easier maybe, and there are more support groups and communities and services like Gaia Learning is alternative education. But when you start it, you know, you're swallowing that pill of, okay, there is. And it's still now, it's still such a weird thing to go, oh, okay, even though I talk about it and live with her, you know, every day. And we do get great comfort, Kirsten and I, from talking to the parents, and the team do as well. And everybody in Gaia Learning has a relationship to neurodivergence in some way. Either they have their own neurodivergence or their family and siblings and whatnot. And the parents do get great comfort from, yeah, we get it, and we can share stories. Yeah. And Francesca in our team will cry with the parent. She was on the phone to a primary school parent who, with a child who's just joined our primary, yesterday, crying for an hour. And that is the parent's absolute release of, oh my goodness, I didn't know this was a thing. And I didn't know you could work in partnership with the school to help me help my child, because that's all I want. And connecting to that power. And every day, you know, I drop Poppy is in mainstream school, and I drop her off 3 times a week. She, you know, she'll have a backpack on, and she'll get a backpack on when she's in the car. So she's like preparing herself, and she breathes for a moment, and then she holds the handle. She looks which teacher, you know, you see these habits. Yeah. And so being able to empathize with a parent on that granular level transcends beyond, we don't sell to anybody. We just focus on the babies and hold hands around them.
I love the other thing I read or heard that you said, Kate, was when you were talking about Poppy and the fact that a lot of these kids who have special educational needs, they have as much, arguably more, passion and energy for life than necessarily other kids. But I love that example you gave where even though you described how sometimes she's resistant to going to school, you give her, I think you use the Facebook Live, you know, you give her a Facebook Live task to complete, and she can get all her friends online, she can design it, she can deliver it, no problem at all.
Yeah,
that just shows, you know, the way her mind, I guess, is wired, and her brain is wired, and some of these other kids, it's just, it's different, but it's a way, it's something that should be celebrated and nurtured and brought on. So moving on slightly to the business side, for those listeners who aren't familiar with Gaia Learning, just explain briefly how you have and are, and, you know, develop this as a business, and where you're getting your revenue from, who the customers are, and so on, just from a business model perspective.
Yeah, so it's well established in mainstream media that many children are struggling in traditional school, and so the schools and the parents are looking for alternative ways to support that child. The schools know, and we know as parents in the community, that they have a legal, moral and financial responsibility to provide education to the children. And in the same breath, the physical classroom isn't working for many children, the teachers are struggling, and the school leaders are going, literally, what do we do? And we're still in this. It's a very live, you know, conversation with every new school we speak to. And so the rise of what's called alternative provision, alternative education methods that are often mostly face-to-face. It might be a farm school. It might be a craft and knitting group for some children. It might be a sensory room. These different methods of engaging and linked to education are becoming well-established. So what we do at Gaia is we take online specialist education to the schools. And we say to the school, okay, so if you've got a child who is struggling in the classroom, and straight away the SENCO or the head teacher goes, yep, I can name you 15% of my 950 school cohort. If they're struggling, what we do is work with the school to create a blended or hybrid or flexi school, whatever you want to call it, program to support that child. So they might go into the physical school a couple of days a week. They might be obsessed and in love with graphic design and art and PE, but getting them to do what is usually English, maths and science in the school setting is really difficult. So we say, okay, well, we've got an open timetable of small classes of up to 12 kids from different schools, from different homeschooling communities across the country, sometimes the world, and they all come together and learn. And we aren't linear in the education. So, for example, it's not about 1 + 1 = 2. It's about what are the different ways you can do maths. For example, I know there's a primary class happening right now that is maths, and it's through the theme of dinosaurs. And I just looked at the team and I went, I don't need to know how you're doing that, but I'm just excited with the fact there's a class about dinosaurs and maths, and they'll teach English, maths and science through dinosaurs with a bit of history. So it's about creating something that engages those young people and then facilitating conversations around education with those young people as well. So schools buy places on our timetable and one-to-one support. Parents buy places on their time on the timetable, and it's for children ages 8 to 18.
Immense. I want to go to your school.
I wish I could go back.
I know. Literally, I'm going, dinosaurs and maths.
They were designing a dream house in English yesterday. That was like an exploring exercise for primary, because our primary timetable launched yesterday. So what would your dream home be? Where would you like to live? And they started an English lesson through that. And I'm sat here going, that's such a cool way to learn English, like through creative. So it's all about unlocking what the child's interested in. Because Poppy, if you give her maths in the classroom, she won't do it. But what she will do is do her Poppy's Planet Club brand on Facebook, talk to 200 people. She's the queen at interviewing. I mean, Michelle, you're a legend, but Poppy, you're just...
I'm getting Poppy on next.
Don't even joke. She's got a little podcast as well. The girls are legends.
Fantastic. Yeah. Absolutely brilliant.
Interesting.
You know, Kate, your energy is off the scale. How do you sustain it?
I have the privilege of hugging Poppy to sleep every night and seeing her journey and understanding of her own neurodivergence, which is just new. That's just started. But we don't have time to go into the conversation in the car. But I am in that privileged position to be able to do that and to be able to talk to or hear about the parents and the kids. We talk about them every day. And so knowing, literally seeing the impact. You know, Poppy struggled to go into school 2 weeks ago on a Wednesday. So she did English, math, science and art with 8 other kids on the classes. And she absolutely loved it. I heard her slam my laptop way too loud and go, "Math's done, that was brilliant." I was like, can I have a snack? You know,
treat.
Conversation apps. I mean, we talk, our Talk On To Walk On podcast, we keep mentioning, is based around the power of conversation. Mm-hmm. And certainly in business, it's incredibly important, but often overlooked. But it's absolutely embedded in your business, isn't it?
Yeah, the ability to understand the child and the parent situation and the school and the ecosystem only comes from having those conversations and taking the time to understand. And you talked about conversation, the chat with Poppy in the car when she said, "You know what you do with Gaia?" I was on the train driving to go to pick my friend up at the train station. "You know what you do with Gaia?" I said, "Yeah." And she went, "That's for kids that have got brains a bit different, isn't it?" I said, "Yeah." And she said, "I think mine's different. I think mine works differently. It's called neuro, isn't it?" I said, "It's neurodivergent, yeah." And she started to cry, and so we're driving to the train station. But that conversation is one that parents are having around the country with their children, and being able to relay that to the team and to your person. And I share with the team all the time the beautiful moments that we have with the kids and the challenges and the TikToks of only being able to buy a certain type of socks from Next. They ever stop making those bloody socks, I will be in trouble. But the conversation about the space, why we're in it, who we're in it with, and from a business perspective, schools feel it. They feel the challenge. investors, everybody knows somebody that has a child that struggles in school. It's a universal, universal visibility, a universal truth that, that's the case. Mm. So, yeah, we're big into chat and mouthy on social media.
And I know you and Kirsten are very close because you bonded over, you know, yeah, your basically your everything that you stand for, your personal experiences with your own children. You met on LinkedIn. You did meet online, though, didn't you? How does that relationship work between the two of you? Tell us about your partnership.
Oh, my goodness. It is an enabler to everything. So, the you know, we have been through since June 21 when we met. It was the height of COVID. I was online teaching at home to Poppy or whatever I was doing. I wasn't doing it at all. I was drinking a gin and tonic, launching a national gin business and popping in the pool the whole summer. And Kirsten was looking for a marketing specialist, and my background's in education and marketing. And at the same time as Poppy really struggling, hearing Kirsten speak under a previous brand that she had in a slightly previous scope and going, okay, this is weird, because she was just starting to realize her own ADHD, which I'll let her talk about one day, and start to talk about the challenges with Aiden. So the fact that we have such shared experiences of business, of purpose-driven stuff, of challenges with and kind of beautiful moments with the kids, means that there's no conversation off the table. So it means as co-founders, mm-hmm, you know, you both work with good intent. We work very differently. I'm a marketeer, I'm sales, I'm community. Kirsten is technical. She's how you fix things, what the tech stack needs to look like, learning pedagogy. I'm like, we know it works for these kids. I'll go and sell it and speak to schools. She's like, we need to check. We've got the data and how it all fits. So it works really well and apparently is like a classic model, but we didn't know it until, you mentioned Baltic Venture at the beginning, until we went through that journey together. And they went, oh, okay. And now there's 13, we're just on our 14th hire in the team. It's no longer just us and a couple of tutors. It's got a whole thing going on. So yeah, we have to stay open, good intent, communicative, and it's not always easy, right? You're having big conversations about life-changing stuff for us and for the kids. And the nature, I think it's important to know, the nature of what we're doing and the nature of what we're talking about is highly emotional as well. Mm. We do, I less so, but certainly Kirsten will speak to parents, Kirsten still teaches occasionally. So she's more at the forefront and with the data and understanding of these kids. She's more at the forefront of understanding what we're dealing with in a positive sense. Mm. And so that is draining. That's hard. That can be really, really hard. And I think giving ourselves the space, the emotional space that we need to process it, actually then powers us back up.
Kate, just listening to you has made me think of a question that I hadn't really planned to ask, but so hopefully it'll come out okay. Clearly, Gaia Learning is addressing a major, major issue in society, in our education system. Let's say something that has afflicted generations, and your plan, as you said right at the beginning, is to change the world in terms of making that a better place in terms of the educational environment. In terms of the business side, you're turning this into a business. So when you're talking to potential investors, do they really get what you're trying to do, or do they sort of pay lip service and listen politely and then say, okay, I understand that now, the numbers, yeah, how are you gonna make this profitable, how are you gonna grow it, and then you're explaining the big vision again and they say, yeah, okay, we get that, but the numbers, you know, how much money are we gonna make and blah blah. How is that the way it happens, or are financiers and lenders a little bit more understanding?
No, you're absolutely right. No, we have a mix. I think the VCs and the angels who have education experience in some way and or some sort of personal connection to the story are A, the ones we want, and B, much more open to listening. You know, rightly or wrongly, Patrick, there's lots of stuff we don't tell them. So, you know, I'm very used to an investor saying, oh, that might be a distraction. And they don't know what we've done for the past 4 years, and certainly the impact and the rise in revenue we've had in the past quarter. So, you know, we've made more in the past, in quarter four last year, than we have done in the past 18 months combined. And that was all organic through referrals and no marketing spend. So we know that the work we've done to put into the core product and the brand and the service and the engagement is working. And actually I say to them, look, we run at break even, we're actually now profit making. I'm really not that stressed about your money. Give us some money, you can help us run, help more kids. Give us a bit of money, we can walk and help a few more. And the Gaia brand, if I can say it kind of loosely, has got a lot of potential in the SEN space that is not just teaching and learning. And we have a whole portfolio of potential. And I, you know, the beauty in being underestimated, right? And is that fine balance of ego and capability and knowing what you know and knowing what you can do versus, oh, yeah, no, don't worry, Mr. Investor, I'm not going to get distracted. I'm a bit like, you don't know me. I've not been distracted since I was four. And there are people that tell me, don't get too excited. Don't get overexcited.
Oh, my God.
All right. So there are some people, some investors that we talk to about the bigger vision of where Gaia Learning sits at the top and what it has underneath it, because we're in a very unique position, I believe, of understanding the ecosystem and the future. And tech, Gaialytics, the software that we're building with the raise, is the thing the world needs that sits outside of just neurodivergent children. We're just starting with the kids who need it most and where there is transparent funding. But actually, all online schools, all alternative provision, all tutoring groups will have an online model in the next 5 years, either under their own brand or outsourced. And the whole world will need to understand the impact of online learning, just like the impact of education and DfE and Ofsted are interested in that. The role that online learning plays and online education, how you measure, track, celebrate and report, is something that will not just be for neurodivergent children. And so that's what we're building. And, you know, I'm regularly told, well, you've got two business models there. And I go, I've got two revenue streams. I've got two complement. And, you know, you'd like, sometimes I just go, you've got to keep some stuff. Just got to keep some stuff back here.
Power in silence sometimes and biting your lip. Strength.
Looking at some of the material you put out, Kate, of those two revenue streams, and you've mentioned Gaialytics for the first time in this episode, that's where you see the future in terms of the scalability of what you're building there. Tell us a little bit about the tech aspects and the Gaialytics.
If you think the rise in online education is happening in every type of education, every country, it's online ed tech is increasing in value as a market 7 times faster than just education. So understanding this wild west world where currently providers, one will use Zoom, one will use Google Meet, one will do pre-recorded, one will do live, one will do whatever. Understanding A, how they fit together, and B, most importantly, the impact they have on that young person, both holistically and their well-being and their confidence, as well as their academic achievements and output, is really important. And it's only going to grow in increasing importance. And we are in a great position where the amount of data we have on the children's how they learn online, what works, what online engagement looks like, and it's how it correlates to impact, well-being, and academic achievement. We are, and how it is as part of the ecosystem, because we're not a Gaia Learning or school, you know, we work in that hybrid model. That puts us in a very unique situation. So creating a piece of software that can measure the learning experiences and impact for the children who come to Gaia Learning, whether it's through a family or through a school, is one thing. And turning that into a piece of software that you can enable all schools to plug into and plug in their own virtual classrooms and their own learning environment so that they can track user learner engagement and impact and give the parents a view to the child's holistic learning experience, whether that's online or in school or blend, is what the world needs. Now, we know that because of the nature of what we do. investors don't know that. And actually, the most common sentence I've had at the moment is, we don't know the edtech world well enough. We're not quite. And I go, that's fine. By the time you understand what we know, you're 5 years away and someone else has done it. So, so Dialytics is something that we have internally through our tech stack, our different tools that we all add up together, that Kirsten does the most wonderful job of data mining and understanding to create personalized learning experiences and pathways off the back of that data. Turning that into a piece of software that you can sell on a subscription basis to schools, to tutor groups, to alternative provision, to farm schools who haven't, will all have an online variable. That's what we're building.
Wow. The stats though, Patrick, just can I just remind you, you mentioned a stat that I had written down. I was just looking for it then when you were talking. And it says the UN Sustainable Development Goals talk about 84 million children or young people are outside, will be outside of education by 2030. This, you, when you say change the world, people do say it kind of just for effect, but you actually bloody well mean it, don't you? This is actually real.
Yeah, we do. And, you know, I mentioned the stuff that you don't say and you don't, you know, you don't tell people. The UN Sustainable Development Goals of quality education and equitable access to education is really important to us. We are launching next year something called the Gaia Girls Foundation, so we can give away to young women in developing countries access to online courses around STEM in particular. We want to make as much of a global impact as possible and know that by doing the right thing for the children and the world, that the commercial model, you know, we're smart enough to create commercial models where the two benefit from each other. And you know, again, I've got the privilege of having given birth to two beautiful girls who are growing up in this world and will, I think, benefit hopefully from Gaia, you know, hopefully from a commercial aspect of this as business grows, but more importantly from my drive and Kirsten's drive and the team and the vision and what we're doing and the fact that we're purpose driven, whilst also wanting to make profit and doing it. And I think if you stay true to what you're trying to achieve, and I want as many people to try achieve this as possible. When, you know, we are friends and affiliates with online schools, with alternative provisions, with tutoring groups who are all out to make the world a better place for neurodivergent children or to create equitable access to education. And yeah, if we didn't do anything, 84 million kids. I think that whole concept of being outside of education is an interesting one as well, because we don't want it to be, you know, we talk about learning can happen anywhere. You can be in a hammock in Bali. You can be in a in Oldham in a community centre with your headphones on a beanbag. You can be in a care home, in a hospital. We have kids in all of these situations. So we don't want it to make education a privileged thing that you get the beauty of going into. It needs to become to you. It needs to be personalised to you, and it needs to engage you. And I think that's the kind of macro challenge which we're working with or, you know, against in the education ecosystem, particularly in the UK.
That is, I like the you know, when you were explaining what it means by describing people as being outside education. If you are outside education, that's mainstream education. And one of the great things about what you're trying to do, Kate, is that you're developing something that's hybrid. And I listened to one of your podcasts where you were describing a story when you got pretty upset when somebody had said to you, but I don't want my child just plonked in front of a computer all day long. And you said, no, you've totally missed the point. That isn't it. And I thought that was great.
Actually, the first time that was said to me was not by a parent, which they do get that. We do get that sometimes in parents, and then we explain and they get it. It was actually by a SEN school. And that was a head teacher of an SEN school. And that just shows how far we have to go with inclusivity and the breadth of understanding of hybrid learning solutions, even within the education ecosystem. As tech, and we're doing some work with government coming up about that.
let's come back to you, Kate. Who do you, I know you've got the fabulous Kirsten, but who do you, when you have a moment and you go, Who do you talk to?
Oh my God. Who do I talk to? So I'm not very good at talking to anybody actually in this situation. So I have some beautiful friends. I think I'm the luckiest person in the world to have a community of friends around me, who've been on this journey, have seen me and my businesses, of which Gaia is, you know, my recent one. So actually, to be give you a very honest answer, Michelle, I'm not very good at talking to anybody. Mm. I don't internalize it. I get stuff done. I put up a lot of pictures over the weekend, a lot of DIY stuff.
Yeah. Distraction tactics.
And once it comes out my mouth, it's done. I don't hold stuff. I don't tend to. I don't quash things anymore. Girl went to therapy. We don't do any of that anymore.
Yeah.
So I, as soon as it comes out and I talk to one person about it for a couple of minutes, it's generally dealt with. But part of, you mentioned conversations, part of the thing that I'm working on is to accept that there are people around me and around Gaia Learning who actually want to support and who actually want, for their own reasons, get involved, kick alongside, have the chat. And I'm working on not just seeing me having a conversation with someone as a drain on them. And that's like a psychological thing, right? Because you don't want to use up people's time or take them for granted or all of those sort of negative connotations associated with a conversation. So, you know, my sister, my mom, my besties are great solace for me. The team are great. We talk out. We talk a lot of stuff out. And I'm working on how do I ask for help and have conversations and put that time in to remember that the world benefits from having those conversations, not just me within those couple of minutes.
And yeah, highly relatable to that, Kate. It's a massive mindset shift, isn't it? When you're just used to just getting on with stuff and just dealing with everything yourself, and you're a doer and you're getting it done. But, you know, that acknowledgement there are people around you who want to help is huge. Yeah. And actually drawing on that. The one thing that I think helped me on that was I remember listening to somebody saying, think of it almost like as a present. You know, when somebody asks you for help, it actually makes the giver feel really good.
Absolutely.
And I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. That's
a good reminder. It's a good, feel like a drain. I think it's so easy to feel like you're using someone else's time, and actually they might appreciate it. Tell you what happened the other day, and as I've kind of grown into this role and I feel like I'm in a live case study, somebody was due to have a meeting with me, and I was really looking forward to speaking to them for lots of valid reasons, a good person and what they do with. And they messaged me 2 hours before and said, I can't make the meeting. I think it's best if I leave you to meet our partnerships manager. And the other person was the CEO of their business. And I said, oh, okay. And I was doing a million things. So I said, okay, no worries. And then someone else said to me, the reason why they did that is because they said, oh, Kate's got kind of big boss energy and I don't want to use up her time. And it was so interesting because I went, oh, I was really looking forward to speaking to them. And I was actually just really valuing that conversation. So I went back and said, like, rumour has it, like, I'm all up for the chat. Like, I love a chat. So, yeah, it's remembering those multiple perspectives on it.
So, Kate, tell us about your experience you had at the Baltic Ventures Tech Accelerator 2023, the cohort where the program's just finished.
Yeah.
And what in particular did you get out of it? Well, you and Kirsten get out of it. And so what are you taking forward from what you've learned?
Yeah, so the decision to apply was one that was a bit like, oh, we've never been an accelerator program like that before. Never asked for money. Didn't know you could ask for money before. You know, we just profit making or whatever. So let's just chuck an application in there, cross our fingers and see what happens. and you know, as you guys know, we went through the process and we're lucky enough to get through. What it gave us, what it gave me in particular, because I was there every Monday, was the headspace and the community and the conversations to realize, not so much the cliche of you're not alone, but that there isn't ecosystem. I've never been part of like a tech ecosystem or whatever. And so, you know, there's one thing, the knowledge that we got throughout it, But for me, most importantly, it was the meeting of the people and the dedicated brain space. And I think those two things are what have accelerated Gaia Learning and enabled us to have the quarter in the last 6 months that we've had. Because it just might be one thing that someone said on the program, either another cohort member or a coach, and you go, I've never even thought of that. And I remember day one, actually, with regards to Gaialytics, and Kirsten and I then came up with the name for Gaialytics. I was like, I haven't even got a slide on that. I haven't even talked about data in the pre-pitch deck as it was. So the brain space and the clarity of thought for me was really important. And I think that's what I'm trying to take moving forward. And then the community part of the relationships that we've made has been very, very special and will continue to be. I want to do more accelerators now, but I want to do it with the people I've just done it with. So can we all come back together like a 90s remake? And just
The message that's coming out consistently loud and clear throughout these podcasts is the bond.
And you've got to be in it to win it, right? And this is a bit about making the headspace and having the conversations and putting time in people's diaries with them and going to things. I'm going to an event in Manchester tomorrow. My role has moved from being the person who speaks to the schools and their parents and the EHCP meetings, and other members of the team do that. And, you know, just like Kirsten has gone from the person doing all of the teaching, figuring out the tech, to we've grown like you would expect. And now it's me getting comfortable in, okay, actually a big part of my role is being in that, is being there, is being visible, is doing amazing stuff like this, having those conversations. And as a doer and as a, you know, person who stays very connected to performance, sometimes that's difficult because you just want to write it yourself or do it yourself, get on with it. But actually our time best spent is in talking to people and representing what we're doing.
Do you feel like a leader?
Yeah, I do, actually. I have always, you know, I was badminton captain, ladies captain of my mum's badminton team when I was 10. I was course rep at uni. I was that, you know, I was Annabelle. My 11-year-old has been head girl, has been netball team. You know, I was that. And so I feel very lucky to, I think we recruit good people at Gaia. I think we've got strong values. And they tell me I'm all right and they seem to be happy with it. And I feel like, yeah, I do know what I'm, not necessarily know what I'm doing, but know why I'm doing it. And then,
So you just mentioned there, yeah, without going full back into your childhood history, is there a foundation there? Do you, when you just take a pause and you go, how the hell did I get here? Where does this come from?
Right.
How would you answer that?
I'll answer it the same way I answered one of my first job interviews when I worked for E.ON when I started the graduate scheme. So what you won't know about me is I had liver cancer when I was born. And I had 3 heart attacks and 2 heart failures. And I was a 1 in 1.95 million chance of survival. So I had a big scar across my body where I had world first surgery in 1986. And I have this absolute belief that it'll be all right. And that I can, I'm not religious. I'm not overly spiritual, but I do carry, call it ego, call it the fact I'm a Leo, call it whatever you want. But there was a reason why I survived something which wasn't supposed to. So I kind of bring a lot to that. And, you know, that my scar is, you can't see on the camera, like it's 30, 35 centimetres long. So it's a daily reminder. That and match it with Poppy is a daily reminder of you can just do stuff. You can achieve things. And,
so. And your why. You know, sometimes why very much underpins, you know, that drive and that motivation, doesn't it? And what a story, Kate. I wasn't expecting to be honest.
I was like, as you say, it's a daily reminder.
There's a sensibleness that comes around that with me. I'm pragmatic. I like to know where I'm making the impact. I am the most optimistic person you're ever going to meet, which works both really, really well for me and sometimes is not good for me because there's other challenges, boundaries. But I believe that everybody has good intent. in the school system have good intent, the teachers have good intent, Ofsted have good intent, they're there to help the children. Sometimes things just get difficult to see. And so I think if you hold on to that, and I hold on to that, I believe that that will define, make me successful, however I choose to define success. And same for Gaia.
Interesting, the word success, isn't it? Because what does that look like to you?
I think I'm the richest person in the world. I have my own home. I have two kids. I have two very smelly Border Terriers. I have the ability to make choices. And I think actually the ability to make choice, we talk a lot of Gaia about giving a child agency, giving them understanding, enabling their understanding. And so success is a feeling, and it's transient for me anyway. And it is not driven by money. I think Gaia is incredibly successful. Will it get physically bigger? Will it grow in revenue? Yes. And, you know, part of what I say to investors is we're a tiny, tiny, small sparrow. We fly really strong. We've got lots of other sparrows around us that want to fly with us. No, we're not a crow. No, we're not an albatross. We're a really, really small sparrow, but we are growing. And so what we've got is successful. And I think that combined with the good intent, combined with the babies, and then a commercial model that is not argued with or is adapted in partnership with the schools where it needs to be. You got to keep trying, right? Just got to.
It's incredible, actually, Kate, that you've, and I think you're in your company, Gaia Learning is in the minority here in terms of the Baltic Ventures cohort, that you've brought your business to where it is today based on bootstrapping, and the money, the equity, the £50,000 you got from Baltic Ventures, and that's it. So, which is, as I say, I think in the minority of the businesses that are in that 2023 cohort. So where do you see now, you describe the sparrow and the sparrow potentially getting bigger. Where do you see the next, let's say, 12 months, 24 months?
So I think there's a, what we know now is the product works, the price point is appropriate, the brand is consistent. So we've spent the past year figuring that out and doing some test and learn stuff. So now it's about doing more of that. So now it's about more relationships with schools, local authorities, more families. From a marketing perspective, we're lucky to have both a B2B facing brand with the families, with the schools and the MATs and the local authorities, and B2C with parents. So we get quite a push and pull model going on, which was by design, but lucky that we kind of landed on that last year. So it's the growth of Gaialytics and the data and the understanding of the data of what we have and how we better understand those children's learning experiences and use that data to create personalised content or pathways for our own kids, for the own kids that come to Gaia. On a practical basis, it's more team, it's multiple timetables. Timetabling is a nightmare. Fortunately, I stay out of it. How many kids, what class, all that sort of stuff. But I think it's doing more of the same. There's other stuff in the pipeline. There's the Gaia Girls Foundation that I mentioned in the next kind of couple of years. There's some more stuff. But I think it's the doing what we're doing now consistently. And I struggle a bit with plans, to be honest, Patrick. I struggle a bit with like, you know, you've got a three-year forecast or a five-year forecast. It's a bit bollocks, isn't it, really? Because you're just like, look at the rate of which it's changed over the past quarter. Not the product change, not the price change, not the positioning change, but the growth. So, you know, we'll speak to a 54 school trust who'll say, what if I gave you one child from each school? An investor would say, well, one child from a school's rubbish. Like 54 kids on a national basis. So we're having those every day. So it's just being really solid with what we have and consistent with what we have, and then using the data to enable understanding.
Don't worry, most if not all of the businesses that I've ever been involved in, when they get to planning, they might have a five-year plan, a 10-year plan, a 30-year plan, but they'll change that plan every few months. So every few months their long-term plan just changes.
Well, it's about being adaptable, isn't it? You've got to adapt, and things can just change overnight. That's the excitement of it. That's the shit, this has just come in, you know, that email can just drop and things can just change overnight, you know.
We're getting quite a lot of interest internationally. So in fact, my call after this is with Australia's largest tutoring group. They have several inquiries for supporting SEN kids online. they can't do it. We met them at an event a couple of weeks ago. Same with Qatar. We work with a school in Saudi. There's a school in Estonia. So we got a lot of interest in the US. We don't have the people. And what I say to investors is simply not enough time has passed. So I can't, we couldn't have gone any faster over the past year whilst doing the most important thing, which can that child log on? Can they delivering. Deliver safe? Absolutely delivering. So we're not there to just raise money and see what happens. We've got, you know, as I say to investors, we know what we're doing. Just chuck some money at it and back off.
And that's the, well, for me, that's the dream investment. Chuck the money in and let you get on with it. That's true. How does Kate switch off?
I'm never off or on. I'm just trying to strike a balance. Yeah. So I like to stay connected to what's going on. I don't sit at my desk all the time. I have two dogs, so I walk the dogs for an hour every lunchtime, and then the team by themselves getting voice notes. Amelia, can you just Francesca? But I play badminton a lot, play badminton with my kids, go to singing lessons, do creative outlet stuff.
Whoa. Singing lessons. What are you singing?
You'll think I'm such a loser.
Go on, Kate. Yeah. Sing us a few notes.
Absolutely not, Patrick. I'm not stupid. I tend to sing musicals.
Great. Songs. So I love musicals.
Yeah, I've gone uncomfortable now because I've started to move my body. But yeah, singing is a kind of a release. And you can't think about anything else. But like when you're playing badminton, you can't think about anything else at the same time because then you miss the shot or you don't get the note or whatever, whatever. So anything that gives me that linear, and I, you know, linear thinking, walking the dogs or whatever. Yeah,
it's great that you do that. Nothing beats walking those dogs, but a little bit of multitasking is always... you can't help it, can you? But you go, I'm in nature, I'm walking, it's fine.
You sort this out for me, please.
Absolutely. But are we going to do the Dragon's Den question, Patrick? We've asked everybody, Dragon's Den apprentice. Dragon's Den or apprentice? Go.
Apprentice.
Okay.
To do it or to watch it?
Both.
I do the apprentice because I'm self-critical, so I would love to do it and watch myself and think, if what I think I would do or what I would actually do in real time would match. Dragon's Den, I feel like I'm having that conversation every day. Anyway. So, and I like working with people and doing stuff and, you know, selling. So yeah, apprentice.
It is actually been an interesting question because everybody has answered differently.
And we'll at the end of this, we can do a little poll of the cohort businesses. Because there is a trend, I'm detecting a trend as to who's saying Dragon's Den and who's saying apprentice. But I'll keep that little.
I'll let you analyze that, Patrick.
That little trend to the end.
Okay, so, I've absolutely loved our conversation. Honestly, I don't want to keep you any longer, but I honestly, genuinely, we could talk to you all day. Keep going. Remember Kate in the middle of it. Remember that people love you and want to support you and help you. So keep opening up, keep having those conversations, make time for you, but obviously retain that fabulous energy and determination, tenacity, all the fabulous words that I can apply to you that I can think of. But you know, and give our regards to Kirsten because you do make a formidable team. And we didn't talk about women in business. That could be something that we could maybe evolve down the line with our business podcast. You've just been an absolute pleasure. And I really genuinely believe that you will change the world. I do.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Kate.
No worries. See you again. Bye.
Take care.